ladies and gentlemen, please give it up for Jimmy Cahill.
Clock up here. I have a very bad track record of times. You gotta watch your time. Can I split people up if I need to? It's a trouble section. Romans chapter 1. Well, it's always a privilege to be able to share God's word with people. People may be known by their behavior that they exhibit over an extended period of time. And in Romans 8:1, it says, first I thank my God. I'm sorry, 1:8. 8:1's a very good verse. Maybe someone else will share that. First I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. These believers in Rome were known to many as being ones that believed God's word. Their believing was not a one-time event, but rather over time, they built a reputation as a group that believed God's word. The point being that people are usually remembered by the way that they have conducted themselves over a longer time frame, although one event can define a person or group. Einstein, right, did a lot of things, but if you think about Einstein, most people think about that picture of him sticking out his tongue. Or E equals MC squared, stuff like that. I like the tongue poster myself. Well, I would like to look at God's behavior, like that, over an extended period of time and see if we can't find a pattern. Let's go to Genesis chapter 1. It's in the beginning. Put this over here. So Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Heaven and the earth. This is as far back as we can go, right? Keep whatever here. Fingers, toes, whatever. And go to Isaiah chapter 45. Isaiah 45. And in verse 18, it says, for thus saith the Lord that created the heavens, God himself that formed the earth and made it, he made it, he hath established it, he created it not in vain. He formed it to be inhabited. I am the Lord, and there is none else. So we see that God created the earth to be inhabited. So let's go back to Genesis chapter 1. Verse 2 says, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. Verse 2 tells us that the earth that Isaiah said was made to be inhabited is now uninhabitable. Without spending too much time on this particular subject, I will tell you that there was a war between the angels. I had a typo in here that was angles. And that was the geometric wars, where the angles and the curves had it out. It's a whole different world. Well, these are angels. And in that war, the earth became without form and void, as it states in verse 2. So, verse 3. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. And God called the day light day, and the darkness he called night. And the evening and the morning were the first day. And God said, let there be firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters. And God made the firmament and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament. And it was so. Verse 20. And God said, let the waters bring forth abundantly the moving creature that hath life, and fowl that may fly above the earth in the open firmament of heaven. 24. And God said, let the earth bring forth the living creature after his kind, cattle and creeping things, and beast of the earth after his kind. And it was so. 27. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. 31. And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And the evening and the morning were the sixth day. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. God saw what he had made, and it was very good. God went to a lot of trouble to provide man with a wonderful home. Genesis 2:15. And the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely... We're going to read a lot of scripture, just so you know. Mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, that thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. God put Adam and Eve in this perfect garden to dress it and to keep it, and gave them only one restriction. Genesis 3:6. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. Trouble is now brewing in paradise. Verse 7, and the eyes of them were both opened, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves apron. And they heard the voice of the Lord walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself. And he said, who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou should not eat, shouldest not eat? And the man said, the woman, oh, he's blaming someone else, whom thou gavest to me to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the woman, what is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, the serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, no questions here, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. And it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Verse 15 is a prophecy about Jesus Christ and his coming to destroy the devil, you know, bruise his head. So we have seen that after the war between the angels, God fixed the heavens and the earth again to make them inhabitable. We have also seen that immediately after Adam disobeyed God, God gave the prophecy of the coming of a Redeemer, Jesus Christ. So, we are starting to see a pattern of God's heart to bless, help, provide for, and deliver people, to fix things. Before we look more into what Adam and Jesus Christ accomplished for mankind, I would like to stop at Exodus chapter 1 on our way. Through time, we're going to span time. Ugh. Exodus. Way too far. Verse 1, chapter 1. Now these are the names of the children of Israel which came into Egypt. Every man in his household came with Jacob. And there was a bunch of those guys. Verse 5. And all the souls that came out of the loins of Jacob were 70 souls, for Joseph was in Egypt already. And Joseph died, and all his brethren, and all that generation. And the children of Israel were fruitful, and increased abundantly, and multiplied, and waxed exceedingly great. And the land was filled with them. They were just everywhere. Now there rose up a new king over Egypt, which knew not Joseph. And he said unto his people, Behold, the people of the children of Israel are more and mightier than we. Come on, let us deal wisely with them, lest they multiply. And it come to pass that when there fall without any war, they join also unto our enemies and fight against us, and so get them up out of the land. Therefore, they did set over them taskmasters to afflict them with their burdens. And they built for Pharaoh treasure cities, Pithom and Ramesses. But the more they afflicted them, the more they multiplied and grew. And they were grieved because of the children of Israel. And the Egyptians made the children of Israel to serve with rigor. And they made their lives bitter with hard bondage in mortar and in brick and in all manner of service in the field. All their service, wherein they made them to serve, was with rigor. And the children of Egypt spake to the Hebrew midwives, of which the name of one was Sifra, and the other was Puah. And he said, When ye do the office of a midwife to the Hebrew women, and see them upon the stools, if it be a son, then ye shall kill him. That's quite a thing to say to somebody. But if it be a daughter, then she shall live. That's quite a 22. And Pharaoh charged all his people, saying, Every son that is born ye shall cast into the river, and every daughter ye shall save alive. So the Egyptians are pretty serious about keeping Israel in place, aren't they? Yeah. So let's turn the page here. Exodus chapter 3, verse 1. Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he kept the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush, and he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burned. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here am I. I'm here. I'm the only one standing around in the desert. And he said, Draw not nigh hither. Put off thy shoes from thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am the Lord, the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the afflictions of my people which are in Egypt, and I have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. And I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them up out of that land unto a good land, and a large, unto a land flowing with milk and honey, unto the place of the Canaanites and of the Hittites and all those otherites. Verse 10. Come now, therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. So God saw the afflictions and heard the cries of Israel and sent Moses to help to deliver. You can read that story and go to Exodus 14. Exodus 14. In verse 13, and Moses said unto the people, fear not, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show to you today. For the Egyptians, whom you have seen today, you shall see them again no more forever. The Lord shall fight for you, he, and ye shall hold your peace. Let's jump down to verse 30. Thus the Lord saved Israel that day out of the hand of the Egyptians. And Israel saw the Egyptians upon the seashore, and Israel saw that great work which the Lord did upon the Egyptians. And the people feared the Lord and believed the Lord and he and his servant Moses. So we skipped a lot of verses, and that's some good read to read in between, but you see that God again delivered. So God saved Israel from the great oppression of Egypt. We saw him make the heavens and the earth that was originally to be inhabited but was overthrown, made uninhabitable, and then made again to be inhabited. We saw God put man into a beautiful garden to dress it and to keep it. We saw those inhabitants disobey God and ruin that great situation that they were in. But we also saw God immediately begin to fix the promise by giving them the promise of someone who would come to destroy the devil. And we also saw God deliver Israel. Now, let's pick up again at Adam. Let us look at some of the consequences of Adam's actions. Luke. Gospel of Luke. Take a look at Luke, chapter 4. All right, so we're looking for some kind of pattern. Chapter 4, verse 5. And the devil, taking him up into a high mountain, showed unto him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said unto him, all this power will I give thee, and the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will, I give it. Adam, by disobeying God, gave the authority God had given him, Adam, to the adversary. Romans chapter 5. Romans. Verse 12 says, wherefore, as by one man, Romans 5:12, wherefore, as by one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin. So death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Adam, by disobeying God, brought death into the world. Thanks, Adam. We see that Adam really made a mess of things. But God promised that someone would come that would fix things. His heart was still to help man to deliver him. 5:21. That as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. John 3:16. It's becoming a famous football verse at stadiums, right? John 3:16. Nothing wrong with that, I guess. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Whereas Adam brought death, God through Jesus Christ the one that God promised back in Genesis 3:15 brought life. Yes, Colossians. Chapter 1. Verse 13 says, "Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son?" Go to the left to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 6, "And hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus." Philippians, go back to the right to Philippians chapter 3. Philippians 3. 3:20, Philippians. "For our conversation, our citizenship, is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ." Adam put mankind under the authority of the devil, as we read in Luke 4, but God, through Jesus Christ, rescued us from the power of darkness and made us to sit together in heavenly places. That's quite a change. Don't you think? Okay. 1 Peter. 2. First Peter 2:24. "Who his own self bear our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed." Adam brought sin, death, and sickness, but God, through Jesus Christ, provided healing. John chapter 3. Gospel of John chapter 3. Verse 5. "Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the spirit is spirit." We must be born of the spirit to see the kingdom of God. Back to 1 Peter. I think I should have put more comments. Comments are good, right? 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18. "For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold, from your vain conversations, received by traditions from your fathers." That's pretty clear, right? "But with the precious blood of Christ, as a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world," excuse me, "but was manifest in these last times for you, who by him do believe in God that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and your hope might be in God. Seeing ye have purified your souls and obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brother, See that ye love one another with a pure heart, fervently, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. 2 Corinthians. So we need to be born of the Spirit to see the kingdom of God. The Spirit was provided for by the accomplished believing of Jesus Christ, who was promised to come way back in Genesis. 2 Corinthians. Chapter 3. In verse 6, who hath also made us able ministers of the New Testament, not of the letter, but of the Spirit, for the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. Philippians chapter 3. You awake? I'm not putting you to sleep, am I? I ate a lot. I was a little nappy. Philippians chapter 3. And verse 21. Who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself? 1 Corinthians. Yeah, I definitely should have put more comments. But you can't go wrong with Scripture. It's pretty safe to just speak the word. Fifteen fifty-one. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Adam disobeyed God, and that very day lost the spirit that God had given him and died spiritually. But God has given us the victory over death for us in the over death, given us the spirit which gives life, and provided a new incorruptible body for us in the future. Once again, we see God fixing things. His heart is to deliver his people, to help, to heal, to rescue, to save, to deliver. Now we can go to Romans chapter 8, if you'd like. Romans 8, verse 21. 8:21. Because the creature itself shall also be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. Oh, yes, it does. Revelation. Don't get to go to Revelation often. Teachings. Chapter 21. Revelation 21. Verse 1, and I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them. And they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all their tears from their eyes. And there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. All of creation shall be delivered. So what do you think? We went to Genesis 1:1, and we're kind of at the end of Revelation. And we only hit on a few spots through time. And what does God do? He fixes things, and he's been fixing things for a really long time. A really long time, right? Who knows how long? When's in the beginning? I don't know. A long time ago. In the beginning. The big inning. Baseball. Right, people, you know people by how they conduct themselves over a long period of time. God, through the ages, has been making things, and man screws it up, or the devil or something, and God just fixes it. He delivers. God delivers. He rescues. And this is what God does. That is God's heart, his heart to deliver. You want me to pray? Okay, I'm going to pray. I'm done. So I'm going to pray. Father, we sure thank you for all that you do for us and continue to do for us, and how you are such a delivering God, and how we can completely put our trust in you, because you are just so wonderful. And we pray in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.